Chapter 8. Dinner at home is tense. Sheriff Stilinski is in a terrible mood due to Agent McCall's interference with his investigation. Apparently, McCall has chosen to perseverate on Derek's involvement rather than actually look for real suspects. "He's got a criminal history, Tom," Stilinski says, trying to put the same note of unctuous slime into his voice. "And if he's friends with Isaac, maybe he decided to get revenge for the kid." "How would that explain the other two murders?" Stiles asks, chopping green onions. "It doesn't. Of course it doesn't," Tom says. "The basic theory is that he started with Leahy for semi-valid reasons, realized he got off on it, and went looking for more victims." "Which is ridiculous, given that one of the cornerstones of this little theory is that Derek's probably already killed," Stiles points out, and Tom throws his hands into the air in defeat. Stiles laughs. He can't help it when his father gets frustrated enough to indulge in some of the same melodrama that is Stiles' daily diet. "He doesn't need logic," Stilinski says. "He's just doing this to be a pain in my ass." "Well, let's be a pain right back," Stiles says. "If we do that, odds are good that nothing will ever be solved," his father points out and sighs. "But on the upside, I think I know what his next move is going to be. He was talking about bringing Derek in for questioning. I let him know that Derek lives out on the preserve, and then said he would be in town tomorrow because he's going to have dinner here along with Isaac and Scott's family." "So he's totally going to show up in the middle of dinner without warning to try to embarrass us and show off for Melissa," Stiles says with a nod. "Noted." "Well, he certainly sounds like a scoundrel," was Milena's opinion once they all sat down to dinner together. "I'm surprised that Melissa put up with him as long as she did. That being said, Tommy, if there's anything that can get you to make your move with that woman, I hope this is it. Goodness, imagine the look on his face." "You know," Stiles says. "No," his father replies. "I do not know. Stop encouraging your grandfather." "Even if you didn't get together, don't you think it would be worth it to make out just a little? Just to piss him off?" Stiles asks brightly. He sees his father hesitate. "Stop it," he says. "Don't think I don't know what you're doing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," Tomas says, with a wise nod. "No evil here," Stiles says. "Just good old-fashioned concern." Sheriff Stilinski narrows his eyes at him and says, deliberately, "Pass the rice." "So, the McCalls are coming over for dinner tomorrow," Milena says, beaming. "That sounds lovely. I haven't seen enough of Scotty while we've been here. Do you think he'll bring that lovely lady of his?"
"Probably," Stiles says. He grins a little and adds, "I'm actually kind of sad that Agent McCall has decided to fixate on Derek. Wouldn't it have been funny if he had tried to overturn Isaac's first alibi and found out that not only Scott, but also Allison could vouch for him? Maybe I'll find a way to bring that up, just to rub in his face that he's not in control of Scott's life anymore."
"Oh my," Tomas says, chuckling.
"Don't antagonize him," the sheriff says, shaking his head. "The quickest way to get rid of him is to solve these murders. So that's what I'm going to focus on. I may not be here during dinner tomorrow, depending."
"Maybe I'll make Bigos then," Stiles says, since he knows his father hates it.
"Will your young man eat that?" Tomas asks.
"Probably not," Stiles says,
smirking. I don't think he and Cabbage get along very well.
Who does? Sheriff Selinsky mutters, and his mother shakes his head at him fondly.
While Stiles and the others are at school the next day, there's another victim. This time, it's a woman who appears to have hanged herself in her apartment. Named Kara Simmons. Stiles doesn't even need to say anything to his father. He just texts him updates throughout the school day. The death is suspicious. There's no history of depression, substance abuse, or other risk factors. She was due to be married that summer, had a full-time job, and seemed happy. Stiles knows that suicides can be sudden and unexpected sometimes, but given the pattern, he's sure that this death is connected. He can feel it in his bones.
Suffocation again,
he texts his father. A different method, but still the same end result. Additional forensics that come in while they're gone back up the theory. There's bruising on the side of Simmons' face, originally thought to have been caused because the banister rail that she had hanged herself from had only supported her weight for a while and then had collapsed. But testing showed that the bruises were made prior to her death. So he knocked her out and then strung her up, Stiles surmises. Then cut her down to explain the bruises.
Yeah, that's the impression I've gotten, Tom says with a sigh.
He's come home for a brief snack and to check in with Stiles, since it's surely going to be a long night.
I don't know if McCall will still show up while everyone's having dinner. On the upside, if he insists on interrogating Derek today, it'll get him out of my hair while I do some real investigation.
Stiles nods a little. It's so weird, he says. Most of the victims are around the same age, right? They could have stuff in common socially or through work. Leahy is such an outlier. I still wonder if he was really a victim.
Well, we won't know until we catch whoever did this and see if we can find out, Tom says. He leans over and tussles Stiles' hair. I'm heading back to the station. You make dinner. Try not to worry about it. Text me if McCall shows up and goes anywhere with Derek.
I will, Stiles says. Then he concentrates on cooking. Bigos is a Polish stew that's fairly easy to make, although he doesn't have a lot of practice with it. Since he's guessing it might not be as well received from the people at dinner who weren't raised in Poland, he cooks some of the pork plain. There are rolls for a starch, and he makes a salad, so there will be plenty of food for everyone. Milena and Tomasz come home from their errands, where they've been checking on their RV, while he's still cooking. Milena stays in the kitchen and chatters and helps Stiles with the cooking, while Tomasz brings in some extra chairs from the shed outside.
I can do that, Grandpa, Stiles offers, but Tomasz protests and says that he's as fit as a fiddle.
Derek shows up about 20 minutes later, just as Stiles is finishing up, and Stiles does his best not to throw himself at the other man. He hasn't had to restrain himself like that in ages, and settles for a hug instead of trying to climb Derek like a tree as usual. Milena clucks her tongue and says, Are you two waiting for marriage or what? Every time I see you two, it's these hugs and pecks on the cheek.
Grandma, Stiles says, somewhat painfully.
He remembers Gwen's advice about just telling his grandparents flat out that he and Derek have a non-traditional relationship, but he can't bring himself to. It's just not their business.
Derek glances at him and wraps an arm around his shoulders. I'm not really a fan of PDA, he says. It isn't you.
Well, Milena says, and sniffs, you two have nothing to be embarrassed about, but I suppose to each their own. Derek, come help me set the table.
Yes, ma'am,
Derek says, following her into the dining room, his nose wrinkling from the smell of the cabbage. Stiles mouths, sorry, after him, and his shoulders huff into a sigh. Scott and his mother arrive a few minutes later. Allison isn't with them. But before Stiles can ask, she shows up with both of her parents, as well as Jake. Hi, Styles says, blinking at Chris. Not to sound rude, but what are you doing here?
Allison told me you would be cooking something traditional, Chris says, smirking. Victoria wanted to come. Besides, I've heard so much about your grandparents, I thought it would be nice to meet them. We brought a bottle of wine. I wasn't sure whether red or white would be appropriate, so we brought a bottle of each.
Styles suspects that Chris is trying to get him back for the many, many times that he's been a pain in the hunter's ass. He supposes that he probably deserves it.
As far as I know, pork dishes can go either way, and we certainly have enough people here, so I guess we'll just set both out and let people choose?
Victoria hands him the wine with her usual icy stare. Allison grimaces when he looks at her, and just shakes her head a little.
It's not because of you, she says under her breath. Dad's dying to get a gander at Scott's dad, and he figures this is the only way he'll get a chance to do it.
Oh, jeez, Styles says, but ushers them into the other room. Derek's back and shoulders go tense, the way they always do whenever an Argent is around. Scott starts making introductions, so Styles focuses on the food. He serves everyone a bowl of the soup, small for the people who've never had it, large for the ones who have and know they like it, and sets out the platter of pork roast and the basket of rolls and salad, so if they decide they don't like it, they can serve themselves.
Oh, this is spicy, Allison says. I like it.
It's delicious, Styles, Melissa agrees. God, Scott, don't make that face. I taught you better manners than that.
Men are such babies, Allison says, as Derek surreptitiously pushes the bowl away, and Milena laughs delightedly.
As if to prove his worth, Chris says the soup is good and gets one of the larger bowls. Styles just shakes his head a little and tries not to grin. He knows that things are complicated, but this is looking like it's going to be an entertaining evening.
I think it's good, Jake says, but it makes my eyes water.
That reminds me, Victoria says. The optometrist called. Your new pair of glasses is in.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing your spares, Styles says, dishing himself up some salad. What'd you do to them?
I sat on them after getting out of the shower, Jake says, rubbing a hand over the back of his hair. Styles wants to ask if that's the second or third pair that he's broken, but decides against it. Jake's ego is still too fragile for that sort of joking. He thinks that the teenager is still silently in awe of the fact that Chris and Victoria bought him a new pair after he broke them the first time.
Salad, Mr. Argent? He asks with a bright smile.
Chris narrows his eyes and takes the salad bowl.
So I hear we're expecting a guest, he says.
Styles shrugs. He may or may not show up.
This investigation is important to me, too, you know, Chris says.
Scott looks nervously at his grandparents and says, Mr. Argent was friends with one of the men who was killed.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry for your loss, Tomas says gravely.
Chris gives a little nod, but doesn't reply. Styles lets out a sigh.
Look, nobody's happy about Agent McCall's involvement. Trust me. But as my dad said earlier, if he's fixated on finding a way to make this my dad's fault and embarrass the Stalinskys in general, then he'll stay out of my dad's way while he does the actual investigation.
Chris's mouth tightens. He's obviously not happy about it, but can't find an argument.
Funny that they sent McCall, though.
I'm sure he requested it when he heard about it, Melissa says. She glances sideways at Scott and says, This isn't the first time he's showed his face in these parts. I just usually shut the door in his face and tell him that if he doesn't leave town, I'll get a restraining order. Now he's got a reason to stay that I can't trump.
What a horrible person, Milena says.
I say we tie him to a chair and force-feed him the soup, Scott says.
Styles throws a roll at him. Scott nabs it out of the air with reflexes that Stiles hopes his grandmother doesn't notice. All I know is that when he shows up, I'm going to pretend I can't see or hear him, Melissa says. Scott, you're welcome to employ the same strategy.
Where's the fun in that? Scott grumbles.
Where's the fun in getting arrested if you punch him in the face like you really want to? Melissa counters.
Scott grimaces but agrees.
Allison leans over and smiles at him, squeezing his hand under the table, and changes the subject by asking about their plans for the weekend. Milena, of course, is thrilled that she's asked, and starts telling everyone all about it. Nearly half an hour has gone by before McCall shows up. When the doorbell rings, Stiles feels every muscle in his body go tight with tension. Derek gives him a quick, concerned look, but Stiles just gets up and goes to answer it. McCall is standing on the front doorstep with that smug smile on his face.
Mr. Stilinski, he says.
Agent McCall, Stiles says with a nod. My father said we should probably expect you. What do you need?
Well, I'd like to have a few words with Mr. Hale.
Stiles gives him a long, steady look for a few moments before standing back.
Come in,
he says, and leads McCall into the dining room. McCall immediately zeroes in on Scott and Melissa and offers them a smile that Stiles thinks is supposed to be chagrined.
Hey, Scott, Melissa.
Scott doesn't even look at him. He keeps his gaze trained on Allison, as adoring as ever, and asks her about the movie he wants to watch that weekend. Melissa chips in with a comment on one of the actors. McCall's jaw goes tight and unhappy at this obvious cold shoulder. But before he can say anything, Chris is rising from his seat. He holds out a hand and says,
Agent McCall, Chris Argent, I'm Allison's dad.
Allison, McCall says politely. Chris gives him a steady look.
Your son's girlfriend,
he says, in a tone that clearly implies any decent father would already have this information.
I'm glad you stopped by. Jim Bennett was a close friend of mine.
I'm sorry for your loss, McCall says. Despite being the exact same words Tomas had spoken an hour earlier, they sound leagues less sincere.
I'd like to be kept up to date on the case, Chris says. Jim didn't have any family in the area.
Well, I'm sure Sheriff Stilinski would be happy to keep you posted, McCall says.
He's helped me keep tabs on things, Chris agrees. He's a good cop.
Yes, it's too bad he didn't figure out these were murders until three people had already been killed, McCall says. Stiles looks up, but Derek's grip on his shoulder keeps him from saying anything that he shouldn't. Chris just keeps glowering at McCall.
Actually, when I went to Sheriff Stilinski and told him I suspected foul play in Jim's death, he was very open to the idea. He opened an investigation immediately.
Yes, I've seen it, McCall says.
Why were you so convinced it wasn't an accident?
Simply put, because Jim was too smart to park his car that close to a hill and then not notice he was inhaling car exhaust.
Well, McCall says, I'll keep you in the loop.
I appreciate that, Chris says,
but I have a concern. I understand that there might be some bad blood, maybe an old rivalry, between you and Sheriff Stilinski. I just hope you're professional enough that you won't go chasing leads designed to make him look bad, rather than trying to solve this case.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea what you mean, McCall says.
That being said, Mr. Hale, it's nice to see you again. I was wondering if you could answer a few questions.
Derek stares at him, then looks slowly around the room as if to study his surroundings, before looking back at him.
I'm having dinner with my friends.
Of course, McCall says. No rush. Could you stop by the station in, say, an hour?
I'll consider it, Derek says. But that might not be convenient to my lawyer, who will be present. I'll call him when I finish my meal. If he can't make it,
I'll have him call you and set something up for tomorrow. I'm sure you have plenty to do tonight, since there was another victim yesterday.
Fine, McCall says dismissively. Then he glances around the room again. Is that why the sheriff isn't here? Is he off investigating?
He's doing his job, yes, Derek says.
And here I thought maybe it was because you were serving alcohol,
McCall says, with a smirk.
Stiles' temper snaps so suddenly that nobody sees it coming, not even himself. He jolts to his feet, slams both hands on the table, and shouts, "Get out of my house!"
There's several moments of stunned silence. From the cringing look on Allison and Scott's faces, he knows that his eyes must have turned crimson, although only for a moment, before he forced it back down. Chris's hand is on his belt like he's thinking about going for his gun. Stiles can't exactly blame him for that, given how deeply the hunter reflexes are trained into him. But it isn't just the volume or the suddenness or even the red eyes that are making everyone stare in shock. Stiles has a presence to him now, an aura that could never be explained in words. Threats of violence dance in the air on the wake of his words. Only McCall himself seems unaware of the fact that both Scott and Derek are gathering themselves to throw themselves on top of Stiles before he can tear the agent's throat out with his bare hands. In fact, there's a trace of his usual smirk as he says, "I won't be given orders by a childish brat like,
now see here, young man."
It's Milena who speaks up before anyone else can. She's on her feet and advancing on McCall with her spoon still in her hand.
"You've got some nerve coming in here and saying such things about my son and grandson in their own home, no less. Who the hell do you think you are? What's wrong with you? Did your mother not hold you enough as a child? Hmm?"
McCall's smile goes thin.
"Now, Mrs. Stilinski, don't you now me."
Milena shakes the spoon in his face.
"I'm not some senile old woman that you can step all over. I survived the Holocaust, sonny boy. 2 years in Poishof, so don't smirk at me. Do you think my son sprang up out of the ground with his brains and his backbone already intact? No, he got those from me and my Tomas, so you'd better watch your mouth."
"I'm not."
"Not another word out of you. How dare you accuse Promiswaf of being childish when you're the one pursuing some petty feud, trying to show up Tommy because he's better than you?"
Milena is taking steps forward now, slowly backing McCall out of the room. He obviously doesn't want to go, but can't figure out how to do anything else without actually laying his hands on the woman.
"Now, you're not welcome in this home anymore. Premiswaf asked you to leave, and by God, I think you had better. He's the man of this house while Tommy's out, and if you don't go, we'll call the police and have you arrested for trespassing. Don't you think we won't?"
She's backed him all the way out the door at this point, and when McCall opens his mouth to say something, she slams the door in his face. Then she claps her hands together as if dusting them off, and walks back into the dining room, where everyone is staring at her.
"Holy shit, Grandma Millie," Scott blurts out. "That was awesome!"
"Super awesome," Allison agrees. "Completely amazing."
"Did you really survive the Holocaust?" Jake asks, eyes wide.
"Of course I did. Both Tomas and I did. We're from Poland, you know,"
Milena says.
"Of course, I was just a little girl. Tomas had better luck than I did. He never got put in any of the camps."
She states this matter-of-factly as she slides back into her chair.
"My goodness, what an unpleasant person."
Derek looks up at Stiles, who's still standing, trembling, like he's stuck in the moment he had almost lost control, and afraid to move.
"Come on, let's go get dessert ready."
Slowly, Stiles nods. Some of the tension starts to leave his body.
"Yeah,"
he says. He turns and heads into the kitchen without another word. Derek follows him and watches him lean against the counter for several long minutes, watches his body tremble.
"Cuddles or violence?"
Stiles opens his mouth to say, violence. He's just so angry. But then shakes his head and steps into the circle of Derek's arms instead. He doesn't want to take the time to beat the shit out of Derek right now. And he is angry, no doubt about that. But some time with Gwen has taught him that he gets the most pissed off when he feels scared, when things are out of his control. Helplessness is his trigger more than anything else. He just wants to feel safe and protected for a few minutes. Milena comes in a few minutes later to find them still standing there, Derek's arms around Stiles' waist, Stiles' cheek pressed into his shoulder.
See, now this is what I'm talking about, she says, reaching out to tousle Stiles' hair. Now, don't glare at me like that. I just figured I would come and try to be useful since you were taking so long.
Reluctantly, Stiles pulls out of Derek's embrace and reaches for the tray of tarts that he had prepared for dessert. Derek grabs a set of small plates. They walk back into the dining room and set the things down.
You know, Chris says, I've seen your name written down a couple times, but that is not how I would have guessed it was pronounced.
Stiles bristles and his jaw tightens.
Good job, he says. You've discovered one of the many reasons why I prefer people call me Stiles.
You could just tell them how to pronounce it, Jake says, uncertain. The fact that it's Jake making the suggestion and not anyone else at the table is the only thing that keeps Stiles from retorting with something rude. He takes a deep breath and reminds himself of what Gwen had said about this. I don't like people calling me Premiswaf because that's what my mother called me. It reminds me of her, and that bothers me sometimes.
Oh,
Allison says, her eyes a little wide.
Goodness, Milena says. Why didn't you just say so to begin with? I'll call you Stiles if it's that important to you.
Stiles hesitates. No, Grandma, you don't have to call me Stiles. It's okay for you, just not other people. The silence is awkward for a moment, before Tomas says,
These tarts are amazing, Stiles. Maybe you should go into culinary school instead of law enforcement.
Scott laughs. Get real. He may bake a good muffin, but he's been talking about being a cop since he was 3.
I know. I remember you two used to play cops and cops, because neither of you wanted to be the robber,
Melissa says.
Scott and Stiles both turn pink.
Milena laughs, and Allison claps her hands and says,
That's adorable!
Maybe I could do both, Stiles says. Interrogate people by offering them delicious tarts if they confess.
For tarts this good, Melissa says.
The atmosphere lightens up, and everyone starts having a good time again. Stiles is still tense, and McCall is a pervasive shadow in the room. But things could be worse. Stiles eats an extra tart and tries not to think too much. Derek excuses himself to call the lawyer. He comes back a few minutes later and says the lawyer will meet him at the police station in 40 minutes.
We should get going then, Chris says, getting to his feet.
I'll help Stiles clear the table first, Allison says.
Chris narrows his eyes at her, but doesn't protest, as she grabs a stack of the little plates and follows Stiles into the kitchen. He clearly suspects that she's cornering him for a talk alone, but just as clearly assumes it's pack business and doesn't interfere.
Hey, just a quick thing about Matt.
Yeah? What about him? Stiles asks, getting the saran wrap out of the cupboard for the leftover tarts.
I don't think we should invite him for any more pack stuff, Allison says, or any more anythings, really. I noticed at the thing the other day when he was taking photographs of the pack that his camera was aimed at me a lot of the time. So I took a look at it when he put it down and went in to use the bathroom. Stiles, he's literally been following me around outside of school and taking my picture. It's creepy.
Stiles feels his skin crawl.
I'm amazed you didn't notice, he says. It's almost always somewhere public. Where there's a crowd. I might have seen him once or twice, and not thought anything of it.
Does Scott know?
Not yet. He'll flip if he finds out. So I don't really want to say anything while his dad is in town. His temper is pretty short. Anyway, I can take care of Matt on my own. I'll break his fingers if he keeps following me around. But I thought you should know.
Stiles nods.
Yep. You deal with it as needed. And from now on to eternity, Matt is excommunicated.
Cool, Allison says.
Hey, you take a breather after Derek talks to Scott's dad tonight, okay? You look pretty ragged.
I know, Stiles says, pushing a hand through his hair. I'll try, at least.
Okay.
She gives him a quick hug.
See you later.